In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The reading for the sermon today is the Old Testament reading, Isaiah chapter 11, as it has been read. Please be seated. Isn't that a wonderful picture of peace? A dog and a cat in perfect harmony with Christmas music in the background while we're snowing. The words peace on earth. No one is afraid. No one attacks. Just resting together and enjoying that moment. Peace on earth. Isaiah pictures peace on earth as well today in our Old Testament reading. Animals that would normally eat each other are now relaxing and eating together. A leopard stretches out and takes a nap next to a goat rather than crouching to attack. A wolf no longer snarls and prowls around a lamb. But the two are best buddies, playing together. The lion and the bear eat grass and nap in a pasture with a bunch of cows, and not one cow gets nervous about that arrangement. Natural enemies in the animal world will become friends, living in perfect harmony. A child, perhaps no older than a baby crawling, will find a snake to play with, laughing at the sound of the rattle it makes. And the snake is not warning the little one to stay away, but simply enjoying the laughter and company of the child. No harm, no danger, no threat, even from a poisonous snake. Peace on earth. This picture is beautiful. The weakest and most vulnerable will be safe and secure. No one will get hurt. No one will be in harm's way. No more injustice. No more enemies. No more war. Just living together in harmony and peace. Of course, that's not the way it is on earth right now. Animals do not play nicely together. A wolf preys on the weak. Most animals need to be afraid of lions and bears. A snake bite can kill. We even watch television programs with titles such as Extreme Animals. But it's not just the animal world where peace on earth seems missing in action. Terrorism and war won't go away. And innocent people are killed. Street crime takes lives of teenagers or even younger children. Drug deals and violence scares us out of the cities. No peace in those places. And inside, in our hearts and minds, peace seems to disappear as we listen to the news and see an economy not doing so well. mental illness running rampant, a society become more and more amoral. No one seems safe and secure anymore. In Isaiah's picture, a little child plays with a snake without fear, but in our world we live in, peace on earth seems as far away as angels singing a couple thousand years ago to shepherds on a lonely hillside. Glory to God on the highest, in the highest, and on earth, peace. And yet, that angelical song, such sung at the birth of Jesus, has it right. True peace on earth has to start somewhere. And in Bethlehem, long ago, true peace arrived as a little child, born so humble and vulnerable. Isaiah's prophecy, written hundreds of years before Jesus was born, described his arrival as a shoot out of a stump. The nation of Judah was almost destroyed. Its rebellion against God had led to foreign nations taking it over and sending the people into exile. It looked dead, like a stump. But God had promised that a Messiah would come one day, and he would be called the Prince of Peace. However, in this prophecy, the glory of King David is not mentioned. The time when Israel is at the top of power and prestige is not the heart of the message. No, Isaiah goes back to David's early family, when he is part of a little-known family of shepherds. King David's father, Jesse, is named to show that the promised Savior of the nations will be born in humble surroundings. And he was. Mary and Joseph are not famous. A carpenter and his wife. Simple working-class folks. Jesus is born in a manger, not in a palace. He is raised in a small town among fishermen and other hard-working people, not in a capital city. Yet, he is the shoot out of that stump who will bring peace on earth. He has the wisdom and counsel, the knowledge and might to bring true peace. Isaiah says his delight is the fear of the Lord. Not frightened fear like a lamb before a wolf, but reverence and total submission to his Father's will. Every breath he takes is to do just what the Heavenly Father sent him to do. And what was he sent to do? He was sent to bring peace. He was sent to bring justice. He was sent to, with in all faithfulness, to do what was right for us and for all creation. What was right was to make peace between God and us. God's wisdom and counsel was a cross. His death would take care of whatever anger and hostility God had against us because of our sin and rebellion. We call it forgiveness, but we can also call it peace. This is how Paul describes it in Colossians chapter 1. And please read with me. For in Jesus, all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Did you catch what all is included? All things. All things. Animals and people alike are included in God's wise plan to bring peace to this scary world where violence and hate destroy the peace we so desire. And then came that day where peace flowed from Jesus to his first followers. He rose from the dead. The violence done to him was undone. On that first Easter, the disciples were hiding in a locked room, afraid for their lives. Then the frightened disciples saw him alive and standing in their midst. And he greets them by saying a very powerful word. Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. With that, the true peace that Jesus brought into the world began to spread into the world. The disciples took it wherever they went in fulfillment of Isaiah's prophecy. But don't stop with the disciples. Jesus is the shoot that comes out of the stump. And he sprouts branches, whatever his followers might be. No matter what year or what city, those who claim to be part of his church are called to bring peace into this world of hurt and fear. As John the Baptist proclaimed in the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus is coming into our lives, happens with repentance and the production of fruit proper for one living in the baptism by the Holy Spirit. During the 2008 presidential race, the late John McCain was asked by Time magazine to share his personal journey of faith. In response, he told a story from his experiences in a North Vietnamese prison camp during war. He tells how he would often be tied with ropes and pulled his head down between his knees. Just terrible torture. Often, he was left that way the entire night. Then, one particular night, a guard came to him. And without saying a word, loosened the ropes. In the morning, before anyone knew, he returned and tied the ropes again. No one else was aware of what had happened, but McCain was deeply grateful for his night of relief. Then the two men never exchanged a word. But some weeks later, on Christmas Day, the same guard came to him in the courtyard of the camp. Again, he said nothing, nor did he look McCain in the eye. But with his foot, he drew a cross on the dirt. The two men looked down at that cross, a wordless conversation that said everything. A wordless conversation that said everything. Our eyes do not yet see the wolf dwell with the lamb. But the little child who came at Christmas has brought with him a whole new age. For now, the peace of this messianic age is often yet in hiddenness. Do you see how it works? One disciple brings Jesus' peace to someone or some place that desperately needs peace, not necessarily by taking away the pain or violence, but by bringing Jesus there. Where can you bring peace into this world? A visit? A meal, a prayer brought to a home that has been shattered by death or sickness? A contribution to a Christian organization that provides a safe haven for abused children or battered women? Or a pregnancy support center? A box of diapers or a bag of groceries to a food pantry with a greeting of God bless you for the work done to feed the hungry and support the needed. A word of encouragement and a helping hand for someone struggling in these tough financial times. A visit to the hospital ward, nursing home, to read a devotion from the Bible, or portals of prayer to someone who is lonely and scared. Support for laws that protect animals and organizations that care for God's wonderful creation. Because animals too will share the peace that Jesus will bring on the last day when he creates a new heaven and a new earth. Yes, the last day is when Isaiah's prophecy will be completely fulfilled. On that day, on that last day, animals will lie down together in peace and harmony. The world will be right again. No more hurt or violence or wars. Peace on earth. But until then, we are the branches that grow out of this shoot called Jesus. We are the instruments of peace for the Prince of Peace. So humble, so small, usually with no publicity, what we do can bring Jesus' peace to a world so desperate for peace. Maybe so among us, with God's help and blessing. In the name of Jesus, amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.